like to call the study session of the City Council of University City to order at 5:31. We don't have on the agenda, but I would like to ask if anyone has any changes or additions to the agenda. Mr. Glickert?
Mayor, I would like to add a proclamation to this agenda.
Okay, thank you very much. So you'll bring it up there. Any other changes? Okay, now we go on to the discussion, a continuing discussion of the University City's draft fiscal year 2016 budget, reminding people that this is a study session, so this is only a discussion among members of council, and we are not taking comments from the audience. And this is further discussion of the input Mr. Walker received last week, and he has come back with a revised budget recommendations. If you don't have a copy, we do have some up here. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would refer to the memo dated May 21st, 2015, which is also attached to the notice of the study session. Based upon some of the discussion that occurred at the last study session, as well as input that we've obtained through various public meetings and discussions with various council members, staff has made some revisions with some recommendations that are included in this memo that I will take you through relatively briefly. I don't intend to read the memo to you. But with respect to Centennial Commons, we are proposing closing the facility at 9 o'clock rather than 10, which was the original proposal. The average usage during that time between 9 and 10 is only about 7 patrons in terms of staff time and the fact that we have to keep the facility open and heated and lights on, et cetera. There will be some savings associated if we close it earlier, and a lot of the public will not be affected by that, as indicated. The average use during that time period, that 1 hour, is only about 7 people. With respect to the summer camp program, there are no proposed changes for this fiscal year. We are considering some options for the next fiscal year. The city subsidizes that program a lot. People pay basically $60 a week, which is $12 a day. It is by far the lowest cost summer camp program in the region. We think there are some options there, either increasing the fees perhaps with a sliding scale for those who cannot afford an increased fee structure, the possibility of partnering with other organizations such as the school district, and I know that at least one nonprofit organization has also expressed an interest in working with the city, so there might be some possibility there. We can look at that option, and an option is to also consider eliminating the summer camp if neither one of these things work. But as I said, there are no proposed changes to the summer camp for this coming fiscal year, but over the course of the next several months, staff will be evaluating these options, and we'll come back to council with some recommendations. Council Member Carr.
Thank you. So when you're talking about this fiscal year, are you talking about FY 2015 or the budget going forward, FY 2016?
For this year, for this summer camp, it will remain as it has always
so
been.
So we have in our 2015 budget already funded this summer camp?
Yes.
Okay, so even though we would have salaries that occur after July 1st, they would be paid for out of the previous money.
Well, it kind of overlaps. There's an overlap there.
Oh, I'm not following you. I'm sorry. So because you said that so there'll be no changes and
there'll be no changes with respect to the summer camp program, but with respect to the salaries in that, a portion of those would be paid from fiscal year 15 and a portion for fiscal year 16, as I understand it. That's correct, isn't it? Yes.
Okay.
Let me try to help out, Ms. Carr, here, and you camp starts what date?
What date does the camp start?
June 6th? Oh. Let's say the first week of June. When does it end, Ms. Riganti?
Mid-August.
Mid-August.
Yeah, so it overlaps the year.
Right. But so
with the fiscal year ending June 30th.
So the liability, as far as our budget is concerned, would probably be 60% of this program. 40% is already accounted for, if you will, in June.
That
because you've got 4 weeks in June in which camp is under 15 budget.
Correct.
Okay.
as I indicated, that we will be evaluating this program over the course of the next year, but there will be no changes this year. As I said, we will look at the possibility of increasing the fees. The current rate is $60 a week. As I said, that's $12 a day, which is very inexpensive and a heavily subsidized program by all of the taxpayers in University City. We would like that program, if it continues, to be more cost recovery. And as I said, we will look at the opportunity to work with other organizations that may assist so that we can reduce the city subsidy associated with that particular program.
Mr. Walker, do you want to wait for questions until after? Other questions? Because on this, I hope we can look at a combination of number 2 and 3, but could staff provide us with what details on what we did to go close the gap from 82% to 55% cost recovery?
Yes.
I would appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else related to the summer camp program?
I was just going to ask.
Can you turn on your microphone, please?
I was just going to ask, is there a possibility of contacting the chamber to assist in this effort?
Yes, we will look at working with any organization that will help us reduce the city costs associated with the program. If you look at the policies that were adopted by council some years ago, the policy on the summer camp program was that it essentially would pay for itself. Essentially pay for itself. Day camps generate enough revenues to cover 100% of direct, indirect, and overhead costs. This program is nowhere near doing that. So as I said, we will take a look at some options so that we can reduce the city subsidy. As I said, there are about 100 young people that participate in that program, and we would like the program to continue. But the other side of that is the city has limited financial resources, and the question becomes how much do all of the taxpayers subsidize these programs in order to support a program like this? And as I said, staff preference would not be to eliminate the program, but we do want to reduce our costs, so we need to look at some options for doing that. We recognize that there may very well be some low-income people who participate in this program, so we'll look at some kind of sliding scale for people who can't afford to pay the full cost. But as I said, it's essential for us to look at ways of reducing city costs. You know, with all of these programs, the way that the city budget works is that we have a limited amount of financial resources. It depends upon the revenues that we generate over the course of the year, and there's only so much that we can do with the revenues that we have available, you know, without increasing taxes in one form or another. So as I said, our preference would be to continue a program such as this. My comments, I guess, apply to all of the programs that we're looking at where we're attempting to reduce our costs. But every year, the city's costs go up. Gas prices go up, fuel costs go up, heating costs go up, lighting costs go up. In some cases, salaries go up. But our revenues, as we've discussed before and presented to council, our revenue picture is flat. So you've got a limited amount of financial resources, a limited amount of money to provide these services to residents. And as I said, if we can reduce our costs in some form, it's necessary that we do that.
Ms. Carr?
Councilmember Carr?
Thank you. I did a little bit of studying, and it seems that we first passed this policies and procedures in 2004, and I looked at the latest revision, and unfortunately it was grouped under a consent agenda, and there were no discussions at all about this. In fact, the discussions were only at that time about the Suttermeyer House and renting the Suttermeyer House. So I have no way to look back, but it may be possible, and I would like to know, how far, when did we decide that it should be 100% recovery? And can you give us an idea of what the recovery has historically been? I think that would put it in a little bit better perspective for me.
We'll provide what information that that we can. We can provide, I'm sure, some analysis with respect to what the recovery has been over the past few years. With respect to the development of this policy, I'm not sure what we have in terms of historical record, but we will see.
I guess my question was, when did we decide it was 100% recovery? Was it in 2004, or was it with some subsequent revision? And because the minutes didn't really address that, I had no way to check that.
I'm not sure, Councilmember Carr, but we'll find out what we can.
I will say, I think I remember it was in 2004, Mr. Sharp. You may remember, because I think we were talking about the camp at that time at the exact same rate, $60 a week back then when Ms. Colquitt was on the council. So I think that's when it was. But look, and I agree with Ms. Carr, I'd love to see how we went from 82% to 55%. Okay, any more questions on summer camp? Okay, Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The next area is aquatics. We have revised some of our recommendations there with respect to aquatics, as indicated in the material the council has before it. The cost recovery goal for the natatorium is 50%. We currently are at about 9%. So under this proposal, we are recommending that we continue with the lap swim hours, but eliminate the public swim hours, which are Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday from 12 to 3 p.m. With respect to Heman Park Pool, the cost recovery goal is 50% and is currently approximately 27%. The revised budget eliminates extended hours and returns to 8 hours of public swim per day, which was what it used to be. But that policy was changed. I think we did that about 2 years ago to see whether or not that would work. The lap swim hours would remain the same. And once again, this is an effort to reduce the costs that all of the taxpayers in University City pay to subsidize a program that has relatively little usage in terms of the public using the facility at the time. And as I indicated earlier, we would like to maintain all of these things. But the revenue pie is only so large, and with the various programs that we have that are being heavily subsidized, I think it's incumbent upon staff at least to come forward with recommendations to council where we look at either increasing cost recovery or reducing our involvement in some of these programs. That basically concludes my remarks with respect to aquatics. I'm prepared to address any particular questions or comments the council members may have.
I would like to say that Mr. Walker knows my feelings about year-round swimming, and I understand why the proposal is being put forth. I would appreciate knowing how we decided the cost recovery for the natatorium, since most people using the natatorium are actually purchasing our full pass, which includes the natatorium. So I would just appreciate that. I think Mr. Glickert brought up a good point to me today that the competitive environment we're in right now, where perhaps we don't get as many members at the Commons because people who just want to do the machines can go over to Club Fitness for $10 a month, so why are they going to come to our places? I think we lose some swimmers to Clayton, which I've been told is now run by a for-profit management firm. In the past, when I was on the council, Mr. Sharp might remember, I wondered if we could develop some kind of a collaboration with Olivet and other neighbors who don't have pools so that they could pay us a fee every year for their residents to use our pool as residents. And I'd still like to pursue that, but maybe we should be looking at something like that with some of our neighbors who have the pool so that our residents could use some of their facilities in the winter when if our NAT's not going. I just think what this budget is showing and the tightness of our budget is showing, we have a lot of discussion to do about recreation. And I hope we can get the Park Commission discussing this too. Mr. Kraft.
It seems like, maybe does somebody have the data with us here? I think the average number of swimmers per day at the NAT's like 7 was what the data. If you except for the swim team, which uses it the swim club, excuse me, which uses it regularly, I think the average, and the numbers dropped actually over the last few years. I mean, it used to be 10. Ms. Briganti's nodding her head. And my understanding is Olivet can use the Ledoux pool. They use the Ledoux High School has a new pool is my understanding.
You may be correct. When we were looking at it, the Y was thinking about building a new facility in Olivet. That didn't happen, so then it changed. I know Mr. Walker's been asked if staff can provide us with the data on all the recreational facilities and usage and staffing and all of that. Any other thoughts, Mr. Glickert?
All right. We've identified an issue here with all of the rec programs, Centennial Commons, swimming at the pool, outdoor and indoor pool. Has staff done anything to address what appears to me to be a trend, and that is possibly families, single people, young people, obviously, numbers are decreasing? And have we developed any kind of a marketing program to address that? And then I have one more question after that.
Madam Mayor, through to Councilmember Glickert, the Director of Community Development and I have had some discussions, and I know she's working with her staff on addressing the particular points that you are raising. We're looking at separating out some of the passes so they aren't all kind of grouped together, and we'll be working with our marketing firm to see whether or not we can market those facilities better. You know, part of the problem is there's so much competition that, you know, there are opportunities for people to enjoy recreation facilities kind of throughout the region, and many of them are cheaper than ours.
I agree. It is very competitive. I'm sorry to say that actually our facilities outside of the equipment and the pool, I mean, the showers, I wouldn't use the showers. And I don't think females would use the showers over there either. I understand we're into green, but when you use the shower at CENTCOM, you press a button, and you just hope that your head gets wet, because the rest of your body's not going to get wet. And the whole idea is to perspire over there and have a workout, and it takes forever to get a shower done. So I think we have some facility issues, too. My second question really had to do with scholarships. I think it's great that we have scholarships, and we should probably, well, maybe I shouldn't, I was going to say have more, but I'd like to know, are scholarships even being utilized?
I don't have that information readily available, but we'll provide that to council when we provide the use figures. Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. We seem to be focused on the recreation program and not on finding money for streets and sidewalk work. And I find that a little bit problematic. While we can address each one of the, in specific, the potential shortfalls in the recreation program, I don't think it's this recreation budget that is controlling where we find the money or do not find the money. So in February, the city manager presented a budget that does not contain adequate funding for our street and sidewalk work. This budget appears to be based on the assumption that the bond issues would pass and most street and sidewalk work could be removed from the budget for a period of years. In April, the voters overwhelmingly rejected the streets and parks bond issues, and the city manager was asked to prepare a second draft budget with adequate funding for street and sidewalk work, maintaining the current levels of funding for public safety. The question of the recreation program didn't even come up. The city manager presented the second draft budget at the May 18, 2015 study session, in which he proposed cuts to recreation, fire, and police departments, but not reductions to the city manager's office budget, though it was increased by over $168,000 over last year. The legislative budget, which is our budget, or the community development budget. Not one new sidewalk or street project was added to this budget. The second draft of the budget did not reflect the priorities of this community. Following the May 18th meeting, City Manager Walker sent another proposal of the revised budget recommendations. This is a third draft, the one we have before us. This latest proposal reads as a justification for his previous proposed changes to the recreation programs with some slight modifications, as he explained, eliminate hours at Centennial Commons, eliminate the summer camp program from 2016 and going forward, or consider reworking it, eliminate the public indoor swim sessions, not the lap swim, but the public indoor swim sessions. That's during the winter. I'm not a swimmer, but I know that there are many who do swim. And reduce the hours at the Heeman Park pool. The previously proposed cuts in the police and fire departments' budgets remain. And still, no new street or sidewalk projects have been included in this proposed budget. And that was what at least I was seeking, and I know that Councilmember Crow was also seeking. And by the way, I believe that the citizens of University City were also seeking. When the city manager was asked to present a new budget to incorporate funding for street and sidewalk work, it was not intended that public safety or recreation services be cut in order to preserve the city manager's bloated budget. And why do I say that? There's a lot of seed money in there. There's a lot of things that aren't necessary. This is a wish list or discretionary spending. I won't even call it fat. I'll just say discretionary spending. And the legislative budget of the council. It's not acceptable that we would minimize public safety and reduce services to our residents while being asked to further subsidize private organizations like the University City Chamber of Commerce and Fair Use City and pay for the extensive travel plans for some members of this council, and that number is $12,000, equal to some of the cuts in the programs for recreation. Finally, the money for funding the street and sidewalk work, roughly $500,000, is clearly available in the Capital Improvement Sales Tax Fund, but it's being held as a reserve for some future grant match, which will not, according to Mr. Walker, be required before June 30th, 2016, and at that time, we'll be looking at a brand new budget. So we don't need to hold on to that money. We already have a substantial uncommitted funds reserve, and we don't need to create another reserve to avoid spending those funds on streets. They need to be spent on street and sidewalk work. This money should be used for the street and sidewalk work. Council should not pass a budget that does not reflect the priorities of this community. While it's interesting to discuss the cuts in recreation, that is not the heart of the problem. Mr. Hamm, I'd like to hand this to you.
Mr. Kraft?
I'd like to just say a quick thing about the swimming. I know there's two council members who are actually here who swim regularly. That's Mike and me. And neither of us swim at the Natatorium for good reason. The facility is a dump. I mean, it should be condemned. It's not ADA accessible. It looks terrible. When kids from other schools would come play the U City swim team when my kid was there, they'd look at us and go, I mean, you guys actually swim in this thing? So Mike swims at the Y. I swim at Clayton. Those are like, you know, late 20th century buildings. I think that the Nat was built before most of us were born. It was wonderful for its time. It's just bad news. As far as the budgets go, I'd like to find more money for streets too. I was going to do the arithmetic. We got somebody who can do arithmetic here. So say we cut the $12,000 of travel from the council, from the budget. How many feet? That got $600,000 per mile. What does that get us about? 4 feet of street. I've been trying to do the arithmetic. Maybe it's five. I can't remember. I think it's five. It gives us 5 feet of street or something. So I don't really know that going after, you know, little things here and there is really the way to go. When I was on the park commission, we had a discussion the other day of all these pending grants, and the total came out to almost $400,000. Is there anybody who can address, you know, how we know that these grants are going to be, or where they come from, and where we spend them, and should there be money for them? And if we don't have the money budgeted, don't they get kind of grumpy about giving us the grant, stuff like that?
Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor, through to Councilmember Kraft, I'll have the Director of Public Works and Parks speak briefly to that, the grants that we're applying for and the requirements for matching grants.
Madam Mayor and Council, yes, we have applied for and have received a couple already, but have applied for other grants in which the local match was a little over $400,000 for park projects. That would include trails, the river repair, and doing park improvements. So that, you know, I think there was about five or six grants that we've applied. Like I said, we've received a couple. Some of those may fall through, just depending on where the money's available.
So can I ask an accounting question? At the last council meeting, the former city manager suggested that we take $300,000 out of a project that is planned for the parks and spend it on streets. Now, I'm not an accountant, but my understanding is that that money that's in parks has to be spent on parks. You can't just move it to streets. Now, I've heard that there were some funny accounting practices in the past, but I know we would never do anything like that now. Could our finance person or somebody answer about, you know, is that money sequestered for parks, or can we just decide we don't want to spend it on parks and go ahead and spend it on streets?
Mr. Walker?
Madam Mayor, through to Councilmember Kraft. Councilmember Kraft is correct. The money designated under that capital sales tax needs to be used specifically under the parameters of that particular legislation. I know at one time all of the money was basically put in one pot. Mm-hmm. That's no longer the case. So you can't take money from this revenue stream and use it over there if it's designated specifically for a particular use.
Ms. Carr?
And to that, you established those funds prior to the 18th, but really not before the 11th of May. Is that correct?
I'm not sure your
question. The park and stormwater sales tax fund, and also the capital investment, the capital improvement sales tax fund were established after the May 11th meeting, and we were notified of that in the agenda sent to us for the May 18th study session. So perhaps at the time that Mr. Ohlendorf spoke of taking that money, he was referring to how it had been originally set up and it wasn't in the pocket of the park sales tax fund because there was no special park sales tax fund. And that was kind of the issue during the bond, you know, when we were working on the bond issues, on the election for the bond issues, there was a question about where did this money come from and where was it assigned. My question is actually to this. I see a total from the email that Mr. Walker sent me of the proposed and pending grants, well, and even anticipated, because I did ask for grants we might anticipate having to fund before or on June 30th of 2016. That's the budget we're addressing right this minute. And what he gave me a list of park projects that would come from that park and stormwater sales tax fund that has now been established. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And that amount that he provided to me was $362,000. I'm assuming that that is also correct. And then under capital improvement, we have an entry for Kingsland Bridge of $29,000 and Old Bonham Lafon of $0. So essentially for the capital improvement sales tax fund, which has that about $420,000 left over that we're holding in reserves, only $29,000. So even though we would have, if we could get every one of these grants, and I'm crossing my fingers that we do, this money would still come from the park and stormwater sales tax fund as opposed to the capital improvement sales tax fund. Is that correct? Either.
Mr. Walker?
That's something that we'd have to take a look at, because all of these grant applications are construction projects that likely would fall under the capital sales tax.
Is there any way that we could decide what these you know, have some kind of outline for what these are so that at least when I look at them, I could see. I mean, essentially, we could call everything that goes on here in University City as construction and put it towards that money. But we still wouldn't get our streets done. And that's the real issue here, is we need to get the streets done. And we have the money.
Mr. Kraft, did you have something?
No, my interpretation from the being on the Parks Commission was that, we're using capital tax funds to fund the construction of Centennial Commons. That's a park, and it's also capital, so we took it out of the capital fund. The auditors have been looking at this stuff for the last, 15 years. They haven't complained about it.
Actually, that was split between the park money and the capital improvement, and it depended, again, on the function. Some of the former park department functions fall under Mr. Wilson as physical. Others fall under Ms. Raganti's department, including building maintenance, which I think, to my own way of thinking, probably should have come under Public Works, but I'm sure that there's a more logical rhyme or reason than my understanding of it. So it really depends on how we have divided it out. There is $420,000 sitting in the Capital Improvement Sales Tax Fund right now being held on reserve. And that money, and $29,000 of it, we believe we will be getting a grant for. $29,000 we can use. That leaves us a substantial amount of funding for streets and sidewalks. These other things, they can go against the $227,000 or $230,000 that's left over from parks. And then we can figure out where the rest of these things are. Will they all come in at the same time? I don't know. But it's kind of a construct meaning that, we've just kind of established it, but we haven't put it into effect. It's a construct about where this money comes from. We have to find the money to take care of our streets and sidewalks. That's our infrastructure. Some of these projects are great, and again, I hope we do every single one of them. But they do not rise to the level of priority and necessity of taking care of the infrastructure of our streets. Yes, we need to take care of the infrastructure for our parks, but there is a crying need for our streets and sidewalks.
Any other questions? Okay, I will just say that it was never appropriate to use the funds from one sales tax to fund other projects. It was done in the past. It was never appropriate, ever, ever, ever. This budget in no way makes the emergency services we provide to our residents suffer. In no way, and I believe it would behoove members of this council not to put out there that somehow we're not keeping our people safe, because we are. And to wrap it up, I will say a majority of this council really do support street improvements, and that's why we supported a bond issue to fix 40 miles of streets in 3 years. Ms. Carr, you voted against it. You worked hard against it. I would encourage you, if you care this much about streets, that we get back together and try to get the bond issue passed. With that, I would like to adjourn this
meeting
at 6:04.
Madam Mayor, I worked against it because that was not the correct way to pay for it. Not because I didn't believe in streets and sidewalks. Thank you.